Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 7-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. So finally, got a hold of Ron Haverly. He is the CEO, is that correct, Ron, of PepUp.org, and he's also a cancer survivor. We have been playing Twitter, phone tag, email, pretty much everything you could think of under the sun. And I finally have him on the show, and I'm very excited. Well, good morning, Ron. How are you today?
Good morning, and I apologize for being elusive, juggling the day job and, doing the pepped up thing on the side. You know, sometimes gets very hectic for me, but
how dare you have a life?
I appreciate your patience, and I appreciate being here. So,
yes, well, tell me a little bit about, I see that you're a cancer survivor. Tell me a little bit about how you found out you had cancer, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, actually, I've been cancer-free for about 17 years. Almost 20 years ago today, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. So when I was 19, I was just starting college, graduated high school, and at that age, you think you're bulletproof. And, one day you come home and your mom's crying and stuff, and I'm getting emotional now just thinking about it. But, you come home and the doctors called and said you're diagnosed with cancer. So, I had a lump in my throat, which I thought was nothing, and I went to the doctor and they squeezed it and they kind of, looked at me a little funny. And the doctor said, hold on for a second. He went out and got another doctor. He came in and they squeezed it and they looked at me kind of inquisitively. And, they're like, we want to schedule a biopsy. And I said, okay. I had no idea what that really was at the time. Being a young dumb kid, I was just like, okay, let's go for it. So a couple of weeks later, they went in, they biopsied it and came back as had Hodgkin's lymphoma. Stage 3, so they started chemotherapy right away and all that fun stuff. So while I was going through all the treatments and, seeing different people at different ages, just going through battling, cancer, it just kind of stuck with me all these years to, want to get back. And I really never knew how to really do that. And, the kids that I saw, because I didn't get put into the pediatric hospitals. I was a little too old. So I was actually, in outpatient procedures with some of the 70-year-old people. So at that time, I had my Walkman, and there was a 13-inch TV in the corner playing, the daily soap operas and, The Price is Right and stuff like that. So,
hey, at least The Price is Right is still on. Walkmans and 13-inch screens are things of the past.
Yeah, so for me, it was a very boring, no fun experience. I was a very active teenager. I played sport. I was into all kinds of extracurricular activities, stuff like that, going out with my friends, just having a good time. And, kind of when cancer hit, it kind of zapped all that energy out of me. And it was very tough to, keep up on playing sports and having the physical energy. And, of course, a lot of your friends kind of disassociate with you because they can't handle the stress. And for me, it just kind of, became very, very boring, very blah experience. And all these years, it's just kind of stuck with me. And, thankfully, I, have been in remission and stuff for years. And for me, I never really, like I said, knew what I wanted to do to help. And 3 years ago, we started Pepped Up on November 14th, 2011, a couple weeks after my 3-year-old nephew was kicking an iPad across the floor. So he literally was kicking it across the kitchen floor, and I bent down. I said, "What are you doing with this?" And I picked it up, and he's like, "Oh, Uncle Han, come over here." And he sits me down on the couch, and he's, using his little knuckle of his finger to show me Disney cartoons. And he's bringing stuff up on Apple TV and playing it on the big screen. And I'm like, this is a 3-year-old kid, and he's using this device better than I can. And during the day, I'm a software programmer that builds apps for these things. And I'm like, he knows more about it than I do at 3. So kind of driving home, the light bulb went on. I said, I'm going to start a nonprofit for kids with cancer that gives them iPads. These devices do everything. For me, like I said, it was a big disassociation. So now with Facebook and Twitter and everything else these kids do and stuff, you know, they can really stay connected to school. They can stay connected to their friends. They can have fun playing games, reading books, you know, you name it. They can do it. So the light bulb went on, and the rest has kind of been history over the last 3 years. So,
so do you credit him for starting your, basically kicking the idea to you?
Yes. I figured it, literally kicking the idea into my head, basically, yes. He is quite a little kid, always ambitious and rambunctious, so... I do credit him with giving me the idea to start the organization.
Awesome. So how did that start? I mean, you know, you have your idea, like you file your 501c3, and then where do you go from there?
Well, that was kind of the whole thing. You know, I really didn't know much about starting a nonprofit at all. You know, I've basically worked, like I said, in the software industry, and I've worked for a lot of startup companies over the last 20 years now. I don't want to date myself too much, but I do turn 40 in December. So I've worked for several startups that, you know, have gone from nothing to multi-million-dollar companies during the dot-com errors and the dot-bomb errors and everything else. So for the last 15 years, I've actually lived in Arizona. I used to be... a New Jersey boy, grew up outside Philly. And when I moved here, I started working for a man named Mark Rukavina here in Phoenix. And he's owned two businesses since I've been here. And I've worked for both of them. And I've followed a lot of his practices on being a successful entrepreneur. So I hope I can kind of be as, you know, a fraction of what he is to be able to run, you know, an organization like he does.
How you took his this is chemo brain coming through. You took his you took some of his notes and followed him. How did you translate that from your idea to actually having the organization to help out kids with iPads and hospitals and whatnot?
Yeah, well, a lot of Mark's successes have been you know, the people that he has placed around him. Obviously, you know, I'm a software guy. I'm not, you know, a master of starting up businesses by any means. So one of my first goals when I started the organization, after looking into what was involved and all the extensive paperwork to get a nonprofit started, I also realized that I needed a strong board of people. So I basically looked around quite a bit with people I've worked for in the past, marketing guys, real big CEOs and tech guys and doctors and lawyers and everybody else that I kind of knew over the years and, you know, pulled my resources and connections on LinkedIn and everything else and, you know, assembled a team of 8 people to help me really deal with all the financial, you know, things that go on with a nonprofit, all the legal issues.
Right.
Go on and all the medical things, you know. Not a professional at HIPAA laws and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, thankfully we have a very well-to-do doctor on our board that helps basically with all that kind of stuff and can tell me where I'm going to go wrong or what I really need to do to cover my bases to, you know, have nothing go wrong, you know, basically. When you're dealing with kids in the hospital and everything else, there's so many regulations that go on, and there's a lot of political red tape. You know, we like to work with hospitals to, you know, kind of help us with our budget, you know, kind of spread out who needs the devices the most. A lot of the kids we help out are, you know, going through bone marrow transplants that are in the hospital for weeks at a time. A lot of kids have a brain tumor and they lose the abilities, you know, motor skills like a stroke patient has. So they'll use the iPads to, you know, go through rehabilitation through speech therapy and things of that nature. So we leverage social workers at part of the hospitals to help us identify those kids. You know, so for for us, that's a huge part to be able to help, some of the most kids that are most in need, obviously, with, their physical need for them sometimes instead of just the, need to play a video game. So.
Right. And it's hard. And like you said, you just had your Walkman and the 13-inch TV. And 7 years ago, I didn't know anything about Facebook or Twitter. I don't even know if it was around. And just
probably,
going.
7 years ago, I think Facebook probably just started about 7 years ago.
Yeah, just started, and I didn't really know much about it, and I wasn't on Facebook when I was going through treatment, and had I been in contact with a lot of other survivors, I think my survivorship would have gone a lot better and a lot smoother, knowing that there were more people out there going through what I was, and even for the parents, I'm sure it's just such a great thing to give them an iPad or a computer and have them have access to the outside world. And, even if it's just watching a movie or watching Netflix or finding another kid who's going through the same thing they are. I mean, it's just great than just sitting in your lonely hospital room, just being, watching the chemo drip.
I don't even realize how much the parents are involved, especially with the kids. I mean, everybody, don't get me wrong, that goes through it has, caregivers that will spend a lot of time with them at the hospital, and we run into it a lot of times where you have the kid that's in for a bone marrow transplant and mom or dad is sleeping on an air mattress on the floor for those 8 weeks as well, just with the kid 24 hours a day. So yeah, you made a good point. The devices we give really become a family device as well, because when Johnny's sleeping, mom can get on the Facebook and let grandma know how he's doing with treatments or something. Phoenix is an interesting city in that we're, a melting pot of pretty much everybody from everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Usually in Phoenix, you don't say, what town you grew up in. They say, what state you from? Because everybody is from somewhere else here. So
right.
A lot of the kids that are in the hospital have, mom and grandma and grandpa are in Boston or, in Texas or something like that. So it's very hard for them to even just visit. So a lot of times moms can get on Facebook and they can post pictures. We team up with organizations like Coyotes and the Cardinals and all the sports teams to go to the hospitals and play video games and give out, copies of the football or the NHL games. And, a lot of times mom and dad will take pictures on the iPads and post that and put it on Facebook for the family to see. So lots of times, like I said, they're using it for thousands of things. And every time we give one to a family, I kind of learn a new use for them as well. So with all the apps and all the things out there, you're just always surprised at what families are using them for.
And I'm sure the kids know a lot more than the parents. And they probably can teach you, like...
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. I have to go through a lot of routines with the moms and dads on how to set them up and how to restrict the screen time and, make sure that they have to put in passwords to buy stuff and all that kind of good stuff.
So now you partner with the sports teams. How did that come about, partnering with the Coyotes and the Cardinals?
Well, I do have to say that the Coyotes are they're one of my favorite organizations.
Excellent.
To work with. Basically, the main idea behind PepTup was obviously the portable devices, the iPads, the laptops, Kindle Fires, things of that nature. But the secondary idea behind it, like I mentioned, was the video games. Every sport has a video game for Xbox and PlayStation. And a lot of the hospitals have, TVs with these game consoles hooked up to them already. So we wanted to be able to do, as a secondary mission, be able to, upgrade those consoles in the hospital, because the kids are playing video games from 15 years ago, and no kid today really wants to play that. They want to play, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare that came out 2 weeks ago. So our mission is to also, provide new games and bring in the sports guys to, sit down, and these kids can't go out and throw a football around or shoot a hockey puck because they're in hospital. So we asked the Coyotes to come out and actually play the games and, make the kids feel like they're, a pro, basically, at the end of the day. and get the experience of playing with a pro and have a souvenir that's signed and everything else that they can play and put on their shelf. So I went to the communities as the first group we approached shortly after starting, pepped up, and they were, you know, all excited about the idea. And since then, we've been a part of Hockey Fights Cancer Night the last two seasons, which has been a huge honor for us to be a part of that and to just be a, you know, there at the night and be a recipient from the NHL. I'm a huge hockey fan, so
yes, me too. That I'm surprised. Yes.
Okay. Going out to the stadium and just being a part of that night is mm-hmm. you know, very touching, special, and to meet all different kinds of people. We've met the November guys and everybody else. So I mean, it's really, really cool to get out there and see, you know, some of the big charities and get to meet some of the people involved with those guys too. So.
And I'm sure they probably just jumped at the chance. Like as soon as you said, come to the hospital and play video games with the kids, there's probably just no question.
Yeah, well, there's a lot. Believe it or not, there's just players jumping at the chance. There's such there's some really great guys on the football teams and the hockey teams that, you know, they play the video games themselves while they're, you know, traveling in their airplanes or, you know, at home after games or whatever. They're playing the Maddens and they're playing the NHLs and stuff like that. So a lot of the younger guys jump at the chance to come out to the hospital and, you know, basically do what they do at home anyway and help out the kids. So, you know, for us, we thought it was a good match. And, you know, a lot of times when we approach the professional sports teams, you know, they're totally excited about kind of doing that stuff with us.
And I was like seeing that, you know, being here in Michigan, seeing the Red Wings do that, and I'm a Kings fan, and just knowing that that's something that they love to do. You know, a lot of, you know, you see some celebs and you can tell that they're just doing it for the photo op, but you can tell that, you know, especially the hockey players, they just love going out and helping bring a smile to a kid's face.
Hockey guys are definitely a different breed of athlete when it comes to their social appearances. I will give them that. Those guys, you know, are just really down to earth, good guys that want to help.
So now,
one of the biggest guys in hockey, that, you know, Shane Doan, mm-hmm. been around the NHL for 20 years, and, you know, he's constantly involved with our community here in the city of Phoenix. So, you know, it's great to have guys like that want to help all the time.
Longest serving captain in the NHL, I believe, right now.
Yeah, he has been. I think you're right. So, I think I heard that this season. So,
how are they doing this season?
Forever.
How are the Coyotes doing this season? I haven't had a chance to check.
Oh, they're kind of scraping the bottom of the Western Division here, so we'll hope they can turn it around and get some momentum going. I'm also a Flyers fan, obviously, growing up outside Philly.
Oh.
So, yeah, but I think both my teams this year are struggling a little bit.
They are struggling a little now. I'm looking at your website, peppedup.org. So who donated your car to drive you around, or did you get that wrapped for your own car?
Actually, that was my personal vehicle, and somebody donated the wrap on it. So we took advantage of that for the advertising, and it served us pretty well over the last 3 years of getting the word out. Lots of people, you know, send us emails because they see my car on the highway. I actually commute about 28 miles each way to work every day, so it gets lots of visibility during rush hour traffic and stuff like that for us.
That's awesome. Now you just need a Cadillac dealer to get a car for you to wrap it up. Since it's in Arizona, you might as well get, you know, you don't have to worry about salt or snow or anything. You might as well get what you need.
Yeah. Well, that's everybody's talked about. We really need to, you know, get like a video game system on wheels kind of thing set up. But, you know, priorities come first when it's helping the kids. Right now we have, you know, no paid employees. Everybody that runs Pepped Up is all volunteer. And I pride myself on spending as little as possible outside of the program. So we've so far been pretty close to about a 95% spend rate on our actual program, helping the kids. And we've kept the overhead and expenses to a minimum.
Well, that's good. Like I said, Cadillac dealers in Arizona. Shane Doan could make that happen.
Well, actually, we have a lot of Ferrari dealers.
Oh, well, there you go.
In Arizona, so maybe we should team up with one of those guys, do an auction or something. We also have the Big Bear Jackson auction out here.
Yes. One of those.
Or something like that.
That would be excellent. So do you have any help with Apple as far as them getting you iPads or anything like that? Or how does it work as far as you getting the actual computers or tablets to the...
Yeah, we primarily work off of donations, grants. We rely heavily on grants for local organizations. Most of the sports teams offer some form of grant system. A lot of companies out here in Arizona, like Boeing, Intel, they offer grants every year. So we try to apply for those. We're still young, so we're obviously not eligible for some of the ones that you have to be a minimum of 5 years old for, but we'll eventually get there. And then we rely on public fundraisers and private donations and everything else that we can do to actually raise money. We also accept used equipment, so old cell phones, old iPads, old Kindles. Pretty much any form of old electronic, we have a way you can donate that through our website where you can go in there and they'll send you a UPS label.
Awesome.
And then you just send it in. And if it's something we can reuse, we take it right out of the thing and we'll re-gift it to a hospital, to a kid. If it's something we can't use, then it gets liquidated and we use those funds to buy new equipment. So we do a little bit of everything to raise funds. It's always, we're always looking for partners, obviously, to help us out with that. With local organizations and restaurants that, like to have a charity element to it. So we work with some of the local sports stadiums during spring training.
Nice.
Arizona's becoming a huge spring training for baseball. So we'll work with a lot of the stadiums during their event season. And some of the events they hold during spring training. And we're hoping to get into the Super Bowl charities for the upcoming Super Bowl in Arizona.
Oh, that's right.
They give a lot of them, give over $1 million to charity during the Super Bowl. So we're hoping that we can get on the list of that as well. So we're just always looking for partners and stuff like that to kind of help out and agree with us. But as far as answering your question, I kind of sidetracked. we have no real support from Amazon or Apple. We've tried. Apple has basically a corporate discount that if we buy over so many thousands of dollars in iPads a year, they'll give us a percentage discount, which pretty much any corporation can get. So they do not give their product for charity, from what we understand.
That's a bummer.
So we have not been very successful in actually just getting pallets of iPads by any means. Amazon also has been pretty tricky to get a hold of to see if we can get on their charitable giving program. They do list a whole bunch of charities that they give to, mostly school-related. So we might just not fall into their category of who they help. Everybody that has a charitable giving arm kind of focuses, obviously.
I think you can do something with Amazon as far as like if people buy something, say if I go and buy a book.
Smile account. So
yes,
if you go on Amazon Smile, you can find us, and the percentages of your purchase for those products will go to Pepped Up and stuff like that. We work with some of the supermarket outlets on the West Coast, Fry's and Albertsons, they have ways that you can hook up your frequent shopper card. So when you buy groceries, a penny of every dollar or something goes to Pepped Up. And every 3 months, it adds up to a nice amount of money that we can help a kid with. So.
Well, Fry's, when I lived in California, that place was like the candy store for me. So, wow.
Yeah, there's a Fry's on every corner out there on the West Coast, I think.
There is, right next to the Starbucks and the Ralph's out there.
Yes, that is true.
Tell me a little bit about, like, have you been to the hospital when you actually give an iPad or a tablet or a laptop to somebody? Tell me a little bit about, like, what their reaction is.
Yeah, I actually go on almost every single delivery to the hospital personally. I haven't missed too many. The only ones that I do not go on is obviously the ones that are a little remote from us that we just ship to places to. Like I said, sometimes we get some referrals that are out of state, so it's hard for me to justify a plane trip out to Memphis or someplace else to help a kid. So right. We just usually ship those to the Ronald McDonald House or wherever they're staying.
Oh, nice.
But we do go on pretty much every single delivery, and a lot of times they're, you know, very emotional. Sometimes they're, you know, well, every time they're very emotional. I will have to say that. Sometimes they're sad. We help a lot of kids that, you know, are, you know, in respite care or in hospice sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
hard.
Are some of the most difficult ones to do. But, you know, I've been hugged, I've been kissed, I've had dad's bear hug the hair out
the
of
stuffing
me.
You gotta do, yeah.
high five, low five. I've been told I look like Mr. Bean. You know, every experience is a little different. You know, the younger kids are, you know, are an inspiration. Usually when we see some of the younger kids, the four-year-olds, the five-year-olds, they're truly inspiring. Their hearts are, you know, bigger than their whole body, and their courage is just off the scale. You can tell that everybody else around them is a little upset and depressed, and the kids are, you know, happy as can be, and telling everybody else everything's going to be okay. So, like I said, every experience, every time we meet a new family, it's a ride of emotions. I will say that.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And so you have the next couple minutes. Tell me what you would want from somebody. Like, you have the floor. If you want to ask somebody for donations or something, what would you, how would we go about doing that for you?
You know, I'm not the sales guy, so I'm not really the pitch giver in that department. Obviously, you know, we are always encouraging people to get involved with what we're doing. The number one thing I hear is, oh my God, I've never heard about your organization.
Right.
You're doing wonderful things. So we do need help spreading the word. We need people that are willing to get involved. We get more and more phone calls from different cities and different hospitals around the country wanting us to partner with them. And we just really need kind of the boots on the ground to help us in those different cities. We have connections, obviously, being outside Philadelphia, mm-hmm. to have volunteers there to help us with hospitals like the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and stuff like that. So we're always looking for people around major cities and major hospitals that want to get involved and help us, you know, work with the hospital. So I've identified kids that we can help out. And we're always looking for, you know, wonderful partners that are, you know, also excited about the things we're doing and can help us, you know, either obtain product for cheaper prices. You know, iPads are, our budget's probably about $400 to $450 a child right now.
Right.
We're always looking for people that can help us make a dent in that. We're hoping probably about 8 kids a month sometimes.
So, that's awesome.
You know, the budget can get up to be about $6,000 a month for what we're doing. And, you know, we're just always really just looking for people that want to sign up for a $10 a month donation. You can do that via our website. Or, like I said, if you want to clean out your junk drawer and find your old flip phones and razors and stuff like that that don't work anymore, you can send them to us.
Oh,
the
excellent.
Precious metals of them are always valuable. So whether you think your phone from 10 years ago isn't worth anything, it's probably actually worth a lot more than you thought because of the metals that are in it. So.
Oh, see, I didn't know that either. That's a good thing to know. See, and how hard was that? Because you just basically told everybody what you need, and now we're out.
That is true. So, yeah, I'm a computer guy. I'm not a sales guy. That's why I said I've made up my board of marketing guys that are much better at the sales pitch than I am. So.
Well, I think you did a great job today, Ron, we're going to wrap up like I usually do. It's pepdup.org. You're on Facebook, Twitter, all the LinkedIn.
All the social, Pinterest, LinkedIn, all the social media things that I can probably think of. We probably have some kind of presence on them.
Yes. So that's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing your day with us, Ron. Hang on. I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mal Majoros. I am the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's the Cancer Warrior on empowerradio.com.